The information and ideas presented on this show are for informational purposes only. Please consult a business continuity, security, or disaster recovery professional before implementing any plans or ideas discussed on this show. The implementation of any protocol is at the sole discretion and responsibility of our listeners.
Is your business ready for a disaster, or are you prepared for anything? No matter the industry or structure of your organization, chances are there could be room for improvement regarding your survival business practices. This is Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101. Your host is Pamela Hill. Join us today as we study what's working in business preparedness and what's still left to do. Here is Pamela Hill.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Mike Schlosser, and I'm the director of the University of Illinois Police Training Institute. And I want to welcome everyone to Fear is Negotiable, Basic Survival Skills 101. And I also want to thank my good friend, Pam Hill, for taking a chance on me and letting me guest host one of her shows. In the past, I've been on the show before, and I've spoken about things like de-escalating potentially violent situations, handling violent confrontations, and even active shooter situations. And I will emphasize, it is always important to train for these worst-case scenarios. Whether you're at work, in business, or at home, we must prepare and be able to respond to violent situations. And I argue that, and I know Pam agrees with me, that the best way to train is through scenario-based training. And during this training, it should simulate the stress you would be under as much as possible, given that situation that you might be put in. But today, I'm going to discuss the importance of exercise, nutrition, and overall wellness when you have to perform under stress. And I will talk about some very simple changes everyone could make in their lives to better cope with stress in general. So before I go into more detail, let me just preface by saying I am not asking everyone to eat and exercise like a professional athlete. I'm not asking everybody to eat and exercise as if they're preparing for combat duty. Now, obviously, the closer you can get to that kind of training, the better you'll be able to cope with stress and the better you'll be able to perform under stress during maybe a violent or very stressful situation. So the idea today is we can prepare for these things not only through our training, but we can prepare for these by being physically and mentally ready to deal and cope with those stressful situations. So I think what I'd like to start today talking about is nutrition. And I know nutrition is a tough topic because it's difficult for everybody to eat perfectly as far as nutrition goes, and to be honest with you, I'm not any different than anyone else. You know, I have my weaknesses. In fact, I love cheeseburgers from fast food restaurants. I enjoy pizza with everything. We even have a place around here where I can get something called a gut buster pizza, and I know that's not super healthy, and I even enjoy fried foods. Okay, so from time to time, this is okay in moderation. Obviously, we don't want to go through McDonald's and get the dollar menu, double cheeseburger, fries, the large pop, and, you know, or maybe you call it a soda or a soda pop or a soft or a Coke. I guess it just depends on, you know, where you're listening from. So, you know, from time to time, those things are okay. But we need to realize it's extremely important to get the right nutrients in our body. When you're under stress, your body uses up many important nutrients. And when you have to respond to a stressful situation, especially those violent or life-threatening situations, what you have put into your body does make a difference. So I want to emphasize that nutrition is important for both physical and mental abilities. And, you know, I also understand that many people want a quick fix to lose weight, and we know that it's important to maintain a healthy weight. But, you know, some of the methods that people are trying these days just really aren't healthy. They will, you know, make you lose weight at least short term, but they're not healthy. For example, some people want to do the no-carb diet. Well, carbs are important. Carbohydrates are important nutrient for energy. And I don't know if people will realize it, but they're also important for brain function. And I think brain function is definitely important when you're dealing with stressful situations. Some people want to try the no-fat diet. I'm taking all fat out of my diet. Again, fat is an important nutrient too. The truth is, overall functioning of our body and mind, we need carbohydrates. We need fat. We need protein. We need vitamins. We need minerals. We need water. We need all of these things. We cannot limit ourselves to, you know, a very strict diet based on just certain things. So to perform at our best physically and mentally, we need to put lots of different things in our body, because these things all have different functions in our body, and we want that overall wellness for our physical ability and our mental ability. So I'll start by talking just a little bit about some of the nutrients. Now, we said we need carbohydrates. Of course we need carbohydrates. Most people realize this is a main energy source, you know, for us to be able to do physical things, but it's also an energy source for the brain. And we get these from fruits and breads, grains, vegetables, sugars, and things like that. So carbohydrates, we need to have those. Protein, talked about protein. Protein is very important. It's a very important, it's like a major structural component of cells and is responsible for building and repairing body tissues. So we cannot neglect having protein. And fat. A lot of people try to stay away from the fat. Well, you know, fat is an energy source that when consumed, it increases the absorption of fat-soluble vitamins in our body, like the vitamins A, D, E, and K. And so it's important to have that. You know, we should choose healthy options such as the omega-3 rich foods that lots of people have been reading about lately, like the fish and the walnuts, vegetable-based oils, things like that. And it helps us with our development and our growth. And then there's vitamins. We all know the importance of vitamins. And one thing that when we think about vitamins is we say, well, I'm just going to take a vitamin every day. Well, it's better to get your vitamins from your food because it will process in your body better. But vitamins alone, if you're taking a multivitamin, I think that's fine. But it's kind of like a cofactor or coenzyme in your body. In order for these vitamins to function, we do need the food, and it's best to get them from the food. So vitamins are very important, and we get those from lots of different sources. And we'll talk about that a little bit more later. And we know we need basic minerals, and we even need sodium. We know that we want to kind of keep the sodium down. I think the rule of thumb is less than 2,400 milligrams per day, you know, so that we don't get too much, you know, sodium or salt in our body. But it does help us maintain our, you know, fluid volume outside of the cells and help cells function normally. So there's some important things that sodium do. There's important things that potassium do, and calcium, of course, is going to help us, you know, build those strong bones and strong teeth. So, you know, again, those minerals are important. And water, okay, I think we're getting a lot better at drinking more water these days. Water helps us kind of maintain that homeostasis in the body, and it actually transports nutrients to the cells, okay? And it's, of course, also important for removing waste products in the body. So, whereas if we just kind of focus on one of these nutrients and, you know, for whatever reason, whether it's an easy, quick weight loss fix or whatever, you know, we need to think, gosh, I need all of these different things in my body because they do different things, and I want to maintain a healthy body, but it also affects your mind and your brain, and we need to stay, you know, prepared, you know, for stress, everyday stress, or even those super stressful situations of a violent confrontation that, you know, that I really hope nobody has to come into contact with. So, you know, how much of these important things do we need? All right. How can we maintain a healthy weight while putting all of these different things in our body. Okay, so let's make it as simple as we can. For example, it's shown that most American adults and children do not get enough fruits and vegetables. That most Americans, adults and children, they get more than enough fat and sugar, and actually even more than enough protein. So let's go over some basic general rules of thumb. Vegetables, okay? And personally, I think we should eat a lot of vegetables, okay? That is one of the most important nutrient-packed foods we can eat. And, you know, we should eat this probably as much or more than any other food we eat. And we should eat fruits, too. Fruits are packed with important nutrients, all kinds of good things for our body and for our mind. But they do have more calories and they do have more sugars, so that's why I opt for the, well, let's go a little higher on the vegetables than we do the fruits. Okay. So when you look at fruits and vegetables, you notice that, wow, there's so many different colors of fruits and vegetables. I mean, just walk through the produce aisle in your store and say, wow, look at all these things. They're all kinds of different colors. Well, all of these different nutrients with all of the different colors means that they're packed with different nutrients. We should fill our plate with these different colors so that we are getting all of the important nutrients we need to get from the fruits and vegetables. And it's so important to have all of these different things, not just focus on one favorite fruit or favorite vegetable, but just have that assortment so that we can get, you know, all the nutrients our body needs, because our body has so many complicated functions. And, you know, again, I'm going to keep emphasizing, not only for your body and your general health, but for your brain, and again, overall deals with coping with stress. So, well, let's talk about protein next. Protein is an important nutrient, and we should choose lean protein. Okay, I'm talking about fish, poultry, beans, nuts, lean meats, things like that come to mind. And, you know, when we have protein, I'm not talking about how I grew up in my house with my mom fixing the fried chicken, and she actually used lard. I don't know if anybody's heard of lard or not, if that's still even used, but it was this giant bucket of this wonderful white stuff in it, and it looked delicious, and of course we know it's not healthy. But she made that, it tastes delicious, and so, you know, we all have our weaknesses. I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about the lean proteins. And even like the gravy she made from all that greasy stuff that sat in the pan at the end, I mean, oh my gosh, it was not healthy, but, you know, we've learned over time. I think it's about time for our first break. And again, you're listening to Mike Schlosser, guest hosting today for my good friend Pam Hill. And you're listening to Fear is Negotiable. And when I come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about nutrition. And then we'll work our way into the importance of exercise for a healthy body and a healthy mind.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
From disasters to cyber threats, it's hard to keep up with the myriad of risks facing businesses today. Risk Partners Alliance is a consortium of business and technology consultants whose focus is to identify and mitigate threats to the operation of your business, your critical systems, infrastructure, and information security. We create comprehensive business continuity programs, including risk assessment, emergency preparedness, crisis management planning, technical disaster recovery, and information security services. We provide hands-on crisis leadership team evaluation and training through scenario-based practices. Our experts are widely sought-after speakers because of their passion, excellence, and unique training methods. and have a 30-year track record of providing risk management and recovery services to a variety of industries. Our proven plans have been put into action in every major disaster since 1989. Find us online at riskpa.com or email info@riskpa.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @FearIsNegotiable. You deserve some rest from worry. Contact us so we can help.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to info@riskpa.com. Again, that's info@riskpa.com. Or follow us on Twitter @FearIsNegotiable. Now, back to the program.
All right, now I'll welcome everybody back. This is Mike Schlosser, and I am filling in for my good friend Pam Hill. You're listening to Fear is Negotiable, Business Skills 101. And in this segment, I will continue to talk about the importance of nutrition in preparedness for stressful situations, whether they're violent, crazy things that may happen in your life, hopefully they won't, or just in general, how to maintain good health and deal with just the general stress we all have in life. So let's move on and talk about some more, just some real basics here, but let's talk about eating grains, okay? The majority, we need to eat grains in our food, right? So, but the majority of them should actually be whole grains. For example, we know that if we eat whole wheat bread rather than enriched wheat flour bread, we know that that's healthier. I mean, we've all just kind of learned that from the media, and it's a pretty obvious thing these days for most people. But this really, what this means is that when it's the whole wheat, when we're eating the entire whole kernel that's not enriched, that we're getting way more important nutrients, and we're getting the fiber, and so much of that is removed when we create this process where we enrich the flour. So, but I think a point I'd like to make is: do not be fooled by reading the front of the box of whatever you eat. There's so many things people put on there, and a lot of it's just because they want to sell their product. You may look at a box of crackers or something, and it might say made with whole wheat. Well, that's true. It probably has some whole wheat in it. But we'd truly like to have it made with entirely the whole wheat. So that's when you need to look at the ingredients. Take the time, look at the box, and say, what's the first ingredient on this? And the first ingredient a lot of times says enriched wheat flour. And then you go down about 5 or 6 notches and it says whole wheat flour. So they can advertise whole wheat when in fact the majority of it is enriched wheat flour. So you're not getting as many nutrients as you would be. So maybe it's a little bit better because it does have some whole wheat, but it's important to read the ingredients. And when you look at the ingredients on any food item, and they're in the order of what they have the most things in it. So again, if it's the first thing says whole wheat, then you know that's the majority of what's in there. If it's the 7th or 8th listing, then you're thinking, okay, they put a little bit in there so they can put that wonderful picture on the box, great big, saying whole wheat. So reading food labels, reading the ingredients, it's not that difficult, and if you take a little bit of time to do it, you'll put much healthier food into your body. And you know, we know that we need fat. We talked about that earlier, but there's differences in fats. I mean, saturated fats, sure, we can get some of that. That's important. But probably the most important, most nutritional fats are the unsaturated fat. And you might read the label, it'll say polyunsaturated or monounsaturated or something like that, and that's fine. So those are the good fats, unsaturated fat. And then we all have heard so much in the news about trans fat. And trans fat obviously is probably the worst for us. And if we had none of that in our body, we would be absolutely fine. But keep in mind, You know, they can say, you know, no trans fat. They can say things like that as long as it has less than a certain percentage of trans fat in it. So it's always important to read the labels. And I mentioned earlier that nutrition affects the brain. And, you know, some studies indicate that consuming foods that are high in the saturated fat and that are high in cholesterol, okay, if you eat foods like this quite a bit, this increases the risk of cognitive decline. So what do I mean by that? Well, it's affecting your brain. So if you can limit those, you are going to help your brain. You're going to help the function of your body. You're going to help the function of your brain. You're going to be better prepared for stress and just life's in general stressors. So it's always important to read the label and say, what am I really putting into my body? Because again, people that make foods, their job is to make money, and I don't blame them for that, but a lot of it has to do with marketing. And so let's talk a little bit about water. And when I was growing up back in the 1960s and 70s, there really wasn't much talk about water. We did drink water, of course, you know, but it really wasn't as well known how important it is to keep the body hydrated and all the important things that water does for our body. And when I look around today, though, I look at the police recruits here at the Police Training Institute, and it seems like almost everybody constantly has, you know, a bottled water with them. So I think we're improving as a nation in understanding that water is important. But, you know, staying hydrated is important because even just if you were dehydrated by only 2% of your body weight, this can negatively impact your performance. So we need to stay hydrated so that we are ready to perform physically and mentally and be prepared. So preparedness, you know, doing scenario-based training and understanding and all these things are great, but, you know, this physical and mental, you know, everyday important things that, you know, to help us prepare for any scenario that might come our way. And I guess on a side note, we could live longer, so maybe that's important to you too. So I think I'd like to move into exercise now. So we've talked a little bit about the nutrition and the basics of nutrition, and now let's talk a little bit about exercise. Because like nutrition, exercise is important for both physical and mental ability. Okay, most of us do understand the basic elements of fitness. All right, we know we should perform some type of weight resistance exercises, and that's going to give us stronger muscles and stronger bones. We know that we should work on some type of aerobic or cardiovascular fitness, and that's going to give us a healthy heart and healthy lungs, and we're going to continue to burn more calories, and that's great. And we know that we need to maintain a healthy weight, and so by doing these things and along with the nutrition, that's the best way to do it. And all of these things will definitely help us prepare us for this stress and managing our stress. So the thing about weight control, so how do I get all these nutrients in my body? And it has to do with what you eat, and it has to do with what we're talking about now, which is exercise. And no matter what magic pills are out there or what magic diets are out there that limit you to just a certain food or food group, it really comes down, it keeps coming back and back to your weight control has to do with calories in, calories out. We know that calories are something we need so that our body can do work. Our body can do, you know, have the energy to do what we need. So we need to kind of understand, well, how active are we and how many calories should we have? And it's pretty simple. If you're going to be exercising for an hour, you're going to need quite a few calories. Or maybe you just got done with a really great workout and you're thinking, boy, I burned a lot of calories. I need some calories in my body. So that's a good time to eat extra calories. And if I'm going to be sitting at my desk all day, how many calories do I really need to be sitting at my desk for 4, 8, 6 hours or whatever? Obviously, you're not working as hard and you don't need as many calories. And here's the hard part. Nighttime eating. So many people struggle with that. That's not even easy for me. And we know, then we stop and think about it. Let's see, I'm going to sit on my couch and I'm going to watch the Bulls game tonight and I'm not going to be moving. How many calories do I need to eat to sit and watch this Bulls game and then go to bed and go to sleep? Well, that's not a lot of activity, so you need less calories. So it is difficult, I think, for most people in the evenings not to consume too many calories. And I'm not saying you have to not eat anything, but just, you know, be cognizant about what you put into your body during those times where you don't need as many calories. So, but again, here's the cool part, you know, exercise, we talked about the nutrition, but exercise also benefits your brain. And there are so many excellent scholarly empirical studies out there. You know, some have indicated that exercises that make you breathe harder help ease anxiety and tension long after you've finished your workout. So it's not just while you're working out. And, you know, there might be some debates out there in the scholarly research that you read on whether these benefits are totally physiological, you know, like, okay, because I brought my body to do these workouts and now during my resting time, my heart rate is lower and my blood pressure is lower. And that's true. And, you know, but there's also some research out there saying, is it actually doing specific things inside my brain that is helping me decrease my stress and helping my brain just simply through exercises? I mean, there's studies out there that say exercise protects the brain against damage caused by strokes. Exercise promotes recovery of injuries. Exercise can be considered an antidepressant. There are also studies suggesting that exercise may benefit learning and intelligence scores. So we're talking about exercise and how it benefits the brain. Okay, there are studies that show a positive correlation between exercise and brain function in the elderly. Exercise just has so many benefits for the mind and body. So now, I think it might be a good time to talk about actually kind of the do's and the don'ts of exercises, and we'll talk a little bit about weight training, and we'll talk a little bit about cardiovascular exercises, and some do's and don'ts on that, because if we're going to exercise, we need to make sure we're doing it properly. And of course, we always want to get our opinions from our, you know, from our physician to make sure, you know, we're, you know, doing things the right way and that our body is ready to do certain exercises. So I think it is about time to take a break again. And again, this is Mike Slusser. You're not listening to the wrong show. I know this is Pam Hill's show, but she was gracious enough to take a chance on me today. You're listening to Fear is Negotiable, Business Skills, Survival Skills 101. And when I come back, we'll get into the details of actually exercising.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
From disasters to cyber threats, it's hard to keep up with the myriad of risks facing businesses today. Risk Partners Alliance is a consortium of business and technology consultants whose focus is to identify and mitigate threats to the operation of your business, your critical systems, infrastructure, and information security. We create comprehensive business continuity programs, including risk assessment, emergency preparedness, crisis management planning, technical disaster recovery, and information security services. We provide hands-on crisis leadership team evaluation and training through scenario-based practices. Our experts are widely sought-after speakers because of their passion, excellence, and unique training methods. and have a 30-year track record of providing risk management and recovery services to a variety of industries. Our proven plans have been put into action in every major disaster since 1989. Find us online at riskpa.com or email info@riskpa.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @FearIsNegotiable. You deserve some rest from worry. Contact us so we can help.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to info@riskpa.com. Again, that's info@riskpa.com. Or follow us on Twitter @FearIsNegotiable. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the program. Again, you're listening to Mike Schlosser, guest hosting for my good friend Pam Hill. You're listening to Fear is Negotiable, Business Skills 101. And in this segment, we were just beginning to get into some basics on exercises, weight training, cardiovascular, things like that. And if you're not familiar with weight resistance training, it's always important to maybe find someone who has that knowledge, a fitness trainer, or, you know, to kind of get at least the basic introduction and have somebody that can actually work with you. But we do know weight training is important. It's important for, you know, the strength of the muscles and bones and things like that. So some basics here. So if you're going to be doing weight training, it's important to warm up the body. And that can be some basic movements, calisthenics, getting in some type of elliptical where you can move your arms and legs, and getting the blood flow to the muscles of the bodies. And that's what it means by warm up. The blood is getting to those areas and it is warming up the body. And you will less likely have an injury when you are exercising and by lifting weights. So a lot of people neglect certain muscle groups when they exercise. And sometimes these are what I call the muscle heads in the gym that just want to do the bench press. And I want to be able to lift 600 pounds on the bench press. And, you know, they seem to neglect other muscle groups because that is their goal. The truth is we need to keep everything in the body even. If we do a push exercise like a bench press, then we need to do a pull exercise. If we do a curl with our arm like for biceps, we need to do an extension. If we work the upper body, we need to work the lower body. We need to keep the body even so that over years you don't develop an imbalance in those muscles, which can cause other problems. And of course, we cannot neglect the core. And if we're talking somewhat sport specific, if you happen to get into some sort of physical encounter, we know that your body does not stay straight. Your body moves, and the middle of your body is moving, and we need to build those muscles there so that we are able to function in a physical confrontation. So let's talk about what you're doing when you're lifting weights. Okay, so most people know this, but you're actually damaging the muscles. You're causing microtrauma to the muscles. So you're damaging the muscles, but the cool thing about the body, it is one of the neatest machines around, unlike some of the man-made machines. The harder you work your body and the damage you can cause to those muscles, your body has a way of overcompensating for what you did. So you lifted weights and you're sore the next day and you say, gosh, I'm sore. I caused some damage to that. Well, your body is saying that too, and they're saying, you know what? We need to get stronger now. We need to overcompensate for what just happened to me. Now, that being said, we do need to give that amount of time. So, you know, if you're going to exercise, you don't want to exercise the same muscle groups every day, because if you do that every day, you can overtrain and you can continue to cause the trauma without the muscles growing and building, which that is actually happening during the rest. And a lot of people talk about, well, how many sets should I do and how many reps should I do? And the truth is, you know, the rule of thumb, 3 sets of, you know, 10 to 15 repetitions and those kinds of things. But, you know, what I like to look at is, you know, people think if I'm going to the gym, I need to have an hour to work out or I'm not going to the gym. you know what? If you have time to work out and you only have time to do one set of an exercise, that's better than none. If you have time to do two, that's better than one. And if you have time to do three, that's better than two. But doing something will benefit your body. So try not to do the, well, I don't have time. It doesn't take much, you know, to maintain and to actually benefit from weight training. We just need to make sure we hit all the major muscle groups, and we need to work on, you know, as far as sets, 10 to 15 is a nice range. I mean, if you're working for muscular strength, you might go heavier weights with less reps and more muscular endurance, maybe lighter weights with more reps, but or you might vary that a little bit. But anything you can do is better than nothing. If you can work out 3 days a week, that's great. What if you only have 1 day a week you can do weight training? There's still some benefit to that. There's research showing there's benefit to being active. And, you know, some weeks you may be able to hit the gym all the time or do your, you know, calisthenics at home, which is also weight resistance training, push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, things like that. So, you know, a little bit's better than nothing. And you just can't get caught up in that, you know, oh, I don't have time to go to the gym today because I don't have my full hour to work out. So just keep that in mind. A little bit is better than nothing. And so we know that also the importance of cardiovascular exercise, aerobic exercise. We know that, you know, running and jogging and biking, and when I say biking, I'm not talking about motorcycle because that's not a lot of exercise, but we're talking about things that are going to get your heart rate up. And if you can get your heart rate up and you can be sucking air a little bit, then you're working that heart, you're working those lungs, you're burning those calories, you're preparing yourself for a physical confrontation. So, again, I always recommend meeting with somebody that's a professional fitness trainer. But the general rule of thumb is monitor your heart rate. And if you're interested, I guess, if you take 220 minus your age, that's your maximum heart rate. That's pretty high. But if you're a beginner, maybe you want to work between 50 and 60% of that. So the calculation, 220 minus my age times 0.60, that'd be 60%. And as you increase your level of fitness, you know, that can go up to 80%. So this depends on your level of fitness. And general rule of thumb, 20 to 30 minutes, 3 days a week is great. But again, just like I said about the weight training, if you don't have 20 to 30 minutes, 3 days a week or 4 days a week or whatever your goals are, what if you just had 10 minutes, 2 days a week? And if you did that 10 minutes, 2 days a week, that will benefit you more than doing nothing. So, you know, the idea here is there's things I can do to get in better shape. I can get stronger. I can get my lungs and my hearts. I can burn calories. I can do all these cool things. But I don't have to just say, no, I don't have time. But to be honest with you, if you're talking about sports specific, to actually be involved in a violent confrontation, and if you take your training very seriously, then sports specific training for a fight doesn't have to mean that you join a gym and join a martial arts class. I think that would be great if you did. You know, jiu-jitsu, karate, jiu-jitsu, whatever you might be interested in that looks fun. Boxing, anything like that, because that mimics the sport. That mimics getting in a fight. But we can also think about what our body does during a fight. And during a fight, think about it. You're going to be going all out. Your heart rate's going to be super high. You're going to be sucking air. Your muscles are going to start getting tired quickly. And how can we prepare ourselves for that without actually fighting? Well, there's lots of different things that are talked about these days, the HIIT training and something where you're doing some type of interval training where maybe you are doing something all out for 30 seconds, you know, and then resting a minute, and then all out for 30 seconds, and then resting a minute. And you build that 30 seconds up to a minute, and you try to build it up even higher than that. But once or twice a week of doing this interval training where you're taking your body to the limit, that's going to mimic how your body feels during an all-out violent confrontation. And your body will have already been there. And physically and mentally, that will help prepare you. So whereas everything I've been talking about so far will benefit you, without a doubt, if you're really serious about being prepared and you have the time and the energy, I would recommend this type of training to be a little more sport specific. So I've talked about exercise, I've talked about nutrition, and we've talked about the importance of how this will benefit you to prepare for a violent confrontation, but also how it will just make you feel better and deal with everyday stress and live longer and enjoy life better. That's great. There is another component that is important that I'm sure a lot of you have a hard time, you know, have a hard time accomplishing. And, you know, for your brain and your body to recover and to get stronger, what I'm talking about here is sleep. So there's so many important things involved in getting the right amount of sleep. So it's always been debated, how much sleep do we get? Should, you know, and some people say, well, I can manage on 4 hours of sleep, or I can manage on 5 hours of sleep. And I'm sure most people, you know, in their busy lives can manage that. But if you truly want to stay healthy and you want to give that mind the rest it needs, and if you want to give the body the rest it needs, then it's important to get a decent amount of sleep. And my belief is 7-8 hours, somewhere around there. I know it's not going to be possible for all of you out there listening, but if you can get that sleep, then that's going to benefit you way more than you think. And as far as sleep patterns go, everybody says, well, you know, I slept 5 hours last night, but, you know, I took a nap today. Well, that's good. You're giving your body that extra rest. But the truth is, if you can get your sleeping patterns all at once, as opposed to breaking up your sleep, that's going to benefit your body and your mind so much more. And a lot of people say, well, you know, sometimes it's hard to sleep, and what strategies do I use for sleep? Especially those that work strange shifts. Maybe they work second shift and third shift and have a hard time sleeping during the day. There's a lot of things going on, and some people just aren't good sleepers. And, you know, the little tricks, like when I worked midnight shift on the police department all those years, I had my little fan on for my noise machine. I was kind of thrifty in those younger days, so I had, instead of room darkening shades, I had aluminum foil, and I'm sure some of you out there know that trick. So I had my aluminum foil on the windows, and I was sleeping in a cave, and it was nice and cool, and, you know, sure, sometimes during the day I was sleeping, and somebody would be mowing their yard outside, and, you know, being a police officer, it was simple enough to go stop that with my taser. I'm kidding, so I just want to say that. I didn't really do that. But it's important to get good sleep regardless of when you sleep, because your body needs that to repair itself, and your mind needs it to absorb all and file all the things you learned during the day. So I think we're about time here for another break. And when I come back, I will continue to talk a little bit more about sleep. And if time, we'll just go over some general advice for some wellness tips, and hopefully I'll have time for that. Again, Mike Schlosser, and you're listening to Fear is Negotiable, Business Skills 101, and we'll be right back.
Out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
From disasters to cyber threats, it's hard to keep up with the myriad of risks facing businesses today. Risk Partners Alliance is a consortium of business and technology consultants whose focus is to identify and mitigate threats to the operation of your business, your critical systems, infrastructure, and information security. We create comprehensive business continuity programs, including risk assessment, emergency preparedness, crisis management planning, technical disaster recovery, and information security services We provide hands-on crisis leadership team evaluation and training through scenario-based practices. Our experts are widely sought-after speakers because of their passion, excellence, and unique training methods, and have a 30-year track record of providing risk management and recovery services to a variety of industries. Our proven plans have been put into action in every major disaster since 1989. Find us online at riskpa.com or email info@riskpa.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Fear is Negotiable. You deserve some rest from worry. Contact us so we can help.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101. If you have a question or comment about the program, please send us an email to info@riskpa.com. Again, that's info@riskpa.com. Or follow us on Twitter at Fear is Negotiable. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. You are listening to Fear is Negotiable, Business Skills 101. And this is Mike Schlosser, guest hosting for my good friend, Pam Hill. In this segment, I will continue to talk about sleep and the importance of sleep. And we just went over a few ideas on how much sleep we should have and maybe some strategies to get good sleep. But that there is research out there, good empirical scholarly research that does indicate problems that can occur if we don't have enough sleep, especially for, you know, a significant period of time. Lack of sleep can cause us to become fatigued. It can cause irritability. It can cause us to make careless mistakes. We might have difficulty concentrating. It's going to increase your stress, and you're going to have a slower reaction time. And if you think about it, if something happens and there's some sort of, you know, extremely stressful situation or a violent situation, something that you need to be able to react quickly, and you know you've had the training, you've gone through everything you need to go through as far as being well prepared for this scenario. But then again, we need to be able to react, and we need to be able to react quickly. And if we're not getting the right amount of sleep with these things that can happen with a lack of sleep, then we definitely, you know, are going to have some issues with, you know, coping with that and being prepared for that time that might be the most important time in our life, in that tragic or violent event that I hope nobody ever has to come in contact with. But besides that, sleeping is just, if you don't get enough sleep, it can contribute to a weakened immune system, and, you know, that you can become ill. It can contribute to depression. It can contribute to high blood pressure, and it can even contribute to obesity. So there's definitely important things about sleep. So exercise, yes, important. Nutrition, yes, important. But to repair ourselves, our mind and our body, the sleep is an important thing that so many people have a hard time. We all have busy lives, and it's not always easy to do. But if we can improve that a little bit, I think we would be much better prepared for anything that might come our way. So I'd kind of like to finish the show here by talking just a little bit about general wellness and kind of maybe the bottom line on some things. And hopefully this will be somewhat insightful to you. I guess thinking right off the top of my head, you know, maybe one simple thing we can do when we talk about making sure we're drinking enough water is, I know some of you like to drink your soda or your pop or Coke or soft drink, whatever you call it. But maybe we can just replace one or two of those sodas or your coffee or whatever with water, with bottled water, just increasing it a little bit. Maybe your business should implement a wellness program, and maybe even there's some incentives because these incentives for the wellness program will also increase the productivity of your employees and decrease the amount of sick leave. So there's a lot of good people that can help develop a, you know, an implementation of a wellness program. Also, I think a lot of people just work too much. They're workaholics. And being very dedicated to your work and enjoying your work and loving your work, that's great. I think that's extremely important. But for overall wellness, we need to think about all those other things in our lives and what's important to us. And it's important to be a regular person besides your occupation, which so much defines what you are. And that's okay. That's something to be proud of. One of the things when I'm teaching wellness seminars, I have everybody write down the five most important things in your life. So if you're listening right now, write down the five most important things in your life. And then when you look at that, I'm sure your career is one of those five most important things. But when I have people write them down, they write down their family, they write down their continuing their education, they write down spending time with, you know, more specific, maybe with their grandkids, or their hobbies they like to do, and maybe it's their spiritual wellness that's important to them. But all these things that are important in your life to have a well-balanced life for your wellness is important. And then I have them folded up, that piece of paper, and put it in their pocket and look at it every day. And are you really doing those things that are the most important things in your life? So, you know, and still, it's okay to enjoy the work you're doing, feel good about having a job, and feel, you know, good about, you know, your chances for advancement and your chances for promotion. But again, what is truly important? And this will help you in so many ways just to keep a well-balanced life. So, you know, exercise when you can. Eat right as much as you can. Get sleep, you know, the best you can. But don't forget about those important things. And if that's spiritual wellness, then that's great. That's something that, you know, don't forget that. You know, don't forget to exercise. Don't forget to eat healthy. And another thing is just basically having a positive attitude, being optimistic. And working in the police field for 30 years, it's not always possible for every police officer I deal with to be positive and optimistic all of the time because of the, you know, the bad things that they see. But, you know, I do find that police officers overall do have a positive attitude, and they do want to help people, and they do keep their life in perspective. And another thing is they seem to have a sense of humor. And sometimes that sense of humor is unique to police, and I don't think a lot of citizens would understand the humor because it might come out wrong, but in the field of law enforcement, they have their own sense of humor that works for their occupation. My guess is no matter where you work, you have those things that you can talk about, things that are funny, things that you can laugh about within your own work and have that sense of humor, because laughing every day, at least a little bit, is very important. I would also recommend training. And the reason I recommend training, we talk about that all the time, training, training, training. I need to be prepared. I need to go through these training sessions so that if something bad happens, I've had practice and I've had experience. But just have had that training, and having that in the back of your mind gives you the confidence to be safer. And the more you work at it, and the better you feel about being prepared for these things, this will decrease the stress so much in your life. Just being prepared. So, you know, some of the bottom lines are like, just think to yourself, you know what? I need to be a regular person. There's more to life than my work. My work's important, but I need to be a regular person. You know, I need to find people that I can be myself around. I need to spend time with my family and friends. You know, I need to say no to overtime sometimes. I need to enjoy my life. Maybe I'm going to, you know, go out to a Cubs game this weekend. Although as a Cubs fan, that's been somewhat stressful for me the last few years. But whatever it is that you like to enjoy, maybe it's time to, you know, if you have some vacation, take some vacation. And have goals outside of your profession. And another thing is try to be financially responsible, because we know that poor finances can lead to stress, not only in yourself, but it rolls over to the family too. And then something that I've always thought is important to me is to continue your education. It's just there's something about, you know, continually learning. It doesn't mean you have to get all these big degrees and things like that, but, you know, whether that education is watching something educational on TV or reading books or, you know, taking a class at a college or a community college, all of these things are important. And so, you know, that's my advice for the day, and I think it's important to prepare with training, but also physically and mentally. So finally, I would just like to once again thank my good friend, Pam, for having me on the show. And hopefully after she listens today, she won't say, oh my gosh, I can't have him back. But again, you've been listening to Fear is Negotiable. And until next time.
Thank you for joining us this week for Fear is Negotiable, Business Survival Skills 101. We hope you'll tune in again next Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition with host Pamela Hill on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll identify more of the best practices in business survival then.
The information and ideas presented on this show are for informational purposes only. Please consult a business continuity, security, or disaster recovery professional before implementing any plans or ideas discussed on this show. The implementation of any protocol is at the sole discretion and responsibility of our listeners.